This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Thank you for being here with us today. Well, the holidays, boy, and I'm sure everyone out there is busy getting ready for them, are a time when diets get demolished, New Year's resolutions are made. But our hope is to help you get through the holidays with a plan and to kind of think about some of the long-term consequences of healthy eating. And I have joining me Cynthia Gordon. She is a nurse and a diabetes education program manager at Bartlett Hospital. I know that you have lots of important information to share with us, but what got you into diabetes education?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. That's actually a pretty funny story. I was a brand new nurse, and I was being interviewed by the nurse manager, and she asked me to name my two challenge areas, and one of those challenges was diabetes, because it was very complex. And she hired me, and about 6 months into the job, she asked me to take over being the lead for the diabetes patients. And so from there, I developed my knowledge and became a certified diabetes educator.
Well, we also have another guest with us that I'd like to introduce, Loretta. And I have trouble saying your name, but it's Bevigny, right? Am I saying it correctly?
That's pretty close. Yep.
Say
that's
it for me, Rhonda. One more time. Bevigny.
Bevigny.
Okay, and she is with TOPS, Take Off Pounds Sensibly, and her husband is also a diabetic, and we'll talk a little bit about the TOPS program in a moment here, but basically, you have been able to keep off weight for a long time, and how have you managed to do that in a nutshell? I know it's not something you can sum up easily, but just give us an idea.
Okay, I've been in the TOPS program for 7 years, and it took about 2 years to get down to the weight where I wanted to be. And each person gets to choose the weight where they want to be. They're not constricted to a schedule. They can choose the weight where they think they can handle it. So it took 2 years to get down where I wanted to be. I am where I want to be for 5 years now. And what has helped me, and it helps everybody in the program, TOPS teaches people how to eat, what to eat, when to eat. And it's an educational program. My eyes were open so much from what I learned from the TOPS program. We have a meeting every week, and we get information there. And we also have the TOPS magazine, an international magazine. And we get a lot of good things.
So we can talk a little bit about that later. But Cynthia, I want to turn to you as a diabetes education program manager. You probably sadly find that your work is more and more in need.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I'm sorry to say that when I first started 20 years ago in diabetes, one in about 15 people had diabetes. Now it's one in 10. And unfortunately, by the year 2050, we expect one in three Americans to have type 2 diabetes. So it's growing. It's considered an epidemic by our national medical entities here in the country. And it's a big concern. It's not a good thing to have.
So what about there are two kinds of diabetes, type 1 and type 2, and type 1 usually begins early, and it's less related to diet but to genetic issues, and type 2 usually results later in life with weight gain. Are you seeing any changes with the number of people that develop type 2 diabetes? Is that more common?
It is more common. Type 2 diabetes is about 90% of everybody I see. Type 1 diabetes is about 10%. Unfortunately, though, both type 1 and type 2 are increasing. Type 1 is related to an antibody that attacks the pancreas, and the pancreas is the organ that produces insulin. type 2 diabetes, there are many, many different things that work. There's about 9 things that go wrong in the body with type 2 diabetes. So we have to address each of those things that are going wrong in the body.
So a lot of people sort of obsess on food when it comes to type 2 diabetes. How important is diet in controlling type 2 diabetes?
Well, there's actually 3 things that are major for controlling diabetes and in type 2 diabetes. One is food, you're correct. The other one is exercise, and the other one is medication. And each of those is just as important as the other one. So it's mainly those 3 things. So the way I like to say it is, if someone is only taking medicine and not exercising, they're still not going to get adequate blood sugar. So it really does take all 3. It takes the food, the medication, and the exercise in order to have good blood sugar control and good health.
So I want to turn a little bit to Loretta, because your husband is a diabetic, and I know that you have worked as a family very hard to help him stay on track. And I think that's so important that someone who's diabetic gets support from their family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it certainly is. And speaking about one of the parts that Cynthia said, the 3 parts that are necessary to control the diabetes, exercise, we have found, working with my husband through the years, 23 years of suffering diabetes too, if he controls the food, we do pretty good at controlling the diet. We know what to eat and what not to eat. But exercise, sometimes he doesn't feel like exercising. So he lets it go for 3 or 4 days. Right away, you can see the difference. Right away, the difference in the numbers of the off the meter.
In other words, for people who aren't diabetics, you regularly check your blood sugar to see how high the sugar is.
Oh, yes.
And so you can see the points go up when there isn't exercise. So, Cynthia, what do you think about that when you hear that? Is that kind of what you see in your experience as correlation between blood sugars and exercise?
Absolutely. So exercise is a great way to lower blood sugars. And there's actually 2 kinds of exercise. There's the aerobic, such as walking or running. And then there's anaerobic, and that's more like weightlifting. Each of those forms of exercise do a lot to help control blood sugars. The more muscle mass you have, the lower your blood sugars are going to be in the long run. Mm-hmm. If you go out for a walk, your blood sugars will drop pretty quick. So those are very, very important things to do to help control blood sugars.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is the holidays are getting very complicated, fixing food for people, because people do have a variety of health issues. You may have a diabetic coming to dinner. Or you may be hosting someone, or you just may want to stay away from temptation, figure out how to keep yourself safe. And we also have people who have had the bypass, bariatric bypass surgery, and they have certain dietary issues. So the holidays can be very complicated, and of course, we want to be able to support people. So Cynthia, what are your thoughts on how we can do that to make sure that we don't derail anybody off their track, so to speak?
Yep. Well, as a host, I think it's important to offer many different kinds of food. I think it's important to offer low calorie, low carbohydrate, but I also think it's okay to offer, more sweet things every once in a while too. The onus really does fall on the person and their health condition to make the choices when it comes to food. And that's what I do, is I help people learn about food and how it affects their blood sugar when they eat certain foods. And in the diabetes world, there's really only about 1 food that I really ask people to refrain from, and that's regular soda pop, because it's just way too sugary. But every other food is fine, but it all comes down to portion. It's about learning what foods raise blood sugars, what foods don't, and making sure when you do eat a food that raises the blood sugar that you're eating some, but just not too many. So it's all about portion.
Well, Loretta, you want to chime in on that? Because apparently sure. That's a big part of TOPS.
Oh, it certainly is. TOPS has about 7 different aspects where we educate people who come to the meeting about using food and eating food. And portion control, wow, that is a big one. And I learned so much. We have 3 levels of calorie intake. You don't have to count your calories, but we, on our daily journal, food journal, we are encouraged to do the food journal and check out these little boxes. And it's all the nutrients, the carbohydrates, the vegetables, the fruits. Check off that box. And when you run out of boxes, you're supposed to stop eating, because by then I have reached my caloric level. And it's according to the body, the size of the body that each person has, what they choose to have. Portion control is good. And pop, oh my goodness, that Cynthia mentioned. Oh, that's how my husband got onto diabetes 2 in the first place. He was at work. He was drinking soda pop. The vending machine was right there. And so he just drank soda pop every night. I didn't know that. We did not carry soda pop in our house. I knew soda pop was bad news. What? There's 11 teaspoons of sugar in one can? Oh my goodness, no. Mm-mm.
Well, I think that is part of the problem is that there are things that are all around us that we don't have an awareness of how much sugar there is. I will share that I am a diabetic, a type 2 diabetic that became what my doctor calls a 1.5 diabetic, where you are insulin dependent. In other words, I have to take insulin to control my diabetes. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that you don't realize until you start checking your blood sugar what these choices mean in terms of raising your blood sugar. And boy, soda pop that has got sugar in it is definitely bad news for a diabetic. But, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you can't have sugar, you're a diabetic. And Cynthia, you could explain that it's not necessarily sugar that raises blood sugar. It other foods have sugars in them that work, you know, that have the same issues as soda pop does, but they're not obviously sweet. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Right. So there are 3 main types of food. There's protein, fats, and carbohydrates. Of those 3, carbohydrate is the group of foods that raise blood sugar. And sugar is actually a part of the carbohydrate family. So yes, there are other food sources besides sugar that raise blood sugar. And kind of what it harkens back to is many years ago, fortunately before I got into diabetes, there was the so-called diabetic diet, which is what pretty much everybody thinks of when they think of, you know, diabetes. And back then, you know, they weren't allowed to eat foods with sugar to control their blood sugar. Well, what we found out is that did not work. What we know now is that people who have diabetes, we want them to eat certain amounts of carbohydrate. Again, proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. Of those 3, carbohydrate is the only food that fuels our brain. And when we don't eat carbohydrates, we can actually develop something called brain fog and just feel like a wet rag. But the challenge is we want people to eat some, but just not too many carbohydrates. And everybody has a different amount of carbohydrates that they can aim for. It really is important for them to work with me and a registered dietitian so we can kind of help figure out that ideal amount of carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. So we hear a lot about these keto diets and that, you know, you're supposed to avoid processed foods and carbohydrates like rice, unless it's like brown rice or wild rice. But I guess maybe could you clear up some of the misinformation about that you should just totally avoid carbohydrates altogether? And is that dangerous in some ways, you think?
Well, no one really in my profession or in the dietitian profession are big fans of keto for that reason. Again, our bodies run on carbohydrates, our brains run on carbohydrates. So we're not big fans. But the thing is, you know, if I eat 1/3 cup of rice, it's going to raise my blood sugar about the same as one small apple. Each of those are considered one serving size of carbohydrate. So I can choose to eat rice, or I could choose to eat a small apple, or I could eat 3 cups of popcorn and it would raise my blood sugar about the same as those other two foods. So you do have a lot of choices of carbohydrates to eat. But again, the ideal is to make sure that you're eating some, but not too many. If someone wants to do a low carb diet, that's fine. You know, it's not a problem. Some people can eat more carbohydrate and have it not affect their blood sugars. So everybody is different in how they digest their food. So if I ate a third cup of rice and someone else ate a third cup of rice, they might not be able to handle a third cup of rice. So it just depends on their body and their digestive system.
Boy, and there's always just so many good rice dishes, mashed potatoes at the holiday table. So Loretta, you have a lot of experience in kind of offering healthy alternatives. Can you talk about some of your holiday strategies?
Yes. Early on, we went to our doctor, and she recommended for this trying to get the diabetes under control. She asked Julio to stop.
That's your husband.
Stop. Yes. Stop eating potatoes, corn, white rice, and the fruit juices, because they're very, very high in fructose. So we switched out. We had to learn something to switch out to. If you're not going to eat those things, you've got to put something else in its place. Well, sweet potatoes. He loves sweet potatoes, but they don't have the glycemic like white potatoes. White potatoes are heavy in the carbohydrates. And I wanted to say something about the carbohydrates that Cynthia was talking about. That's true. We do need carbohydrates, but I just read a report in a health magazine from the health food store, and it said that 60%, the majority of Americans are eating 60% carbohydrates in their 100% diet. It would be better if we switch it, go down to 20%, switch it down, the carbohydrate intake, and uptake on the protein and especially vegetables. And that's one thing also that we learn in TOPS, the plate, how to form the plate. Half of the plate should be vegetables or a safe fruit. Avocado is a fruit. Avocado is excellent in the fats and the good stuff that it gives us. Then you have 3 ounces of protein, especially fish is very good for diabetics too. Back off from the red. You can eat red meat, but, you know, don't make it the big thing. So in the holiday schedules for eating, I think ham is part of it sometimes. Let's see, we have ham and meat, and I don't know what else they have. But anyway, ham is heavy in calories, and it'd be better to stay with fish, although this is not a season for fish. But the meat. Other things is when we go back to meeting with people in these groups now at this time of year, our latest magazine gives us some options. It says, make the best choices you can from what's available. Whatever it is that the host is presenting to you, the diabetic person knows what they're supposed to, can safely eat. Okay, do that. Then choose that thing, something that you can find. Another thing, I would take the sparkling water with me, you know, a can of, or two cans, and just go into the kitchen and the host say, okay, can I put this in a glass? And then you walk out as if you're drinking along with everybody else, but you're really drinking water. I have a good recipe here that we receive from our club. eggless nog, and it's very simple to make, and I think it tastes good. I haven't tried it, but it sure sounds good. 1/2 gallon of cashew milk, 1/2 cup of blue agave sweetener, and 1 teaspoon of ground nutmeg. That's easy. Put it all together, and you, okay, I have an eggnog. Walk around with an eggnog instead of an eggnog that has 12 eggs in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you do a lot of thinking about things. Well, we're going to have to wrap things up. I think this is a fascinating discussion to talk about ways that you can navigate around the hazards of unhealthy eating. So, Cynthia, in your mind, what would be a perfect way to celebrate the holidays? You go to this meal. What do you do?
Well, it's really up to the person who has diabetes and, you know, what do they want? What is appropriate for their blood sugars? You know, if they get to a party and they already have high blood sugars, they probably don't want to eat something that would make it go higher. But it really is on the person who has diabetes to make those decisions.
All right. Any parting words, Loretta?
Yes, I have a good question. It's out of the article that I'm reading from the Tops magazine. This is a good question for diabetics and anyone who wants to keep their weight where it is or not gain any more. This is the question. Do you have a favorite high-calorie holiday food? Think about it. And then think about a way around it or how much you're going to take of it. But think about it ahead of time. Before you go anywhere.
Sort of head it off. All right. Well,
head it off.
I want to thank both of you, Cynthia Gordon, who is the Diabetes Education Program Manager at Bartlett Regional Hospital, and Loretta Bevigny, who is with the TOPS group, Taking Off Pounds Sensibly. So thanks so much for sharing your knowledge with us today. And here's to happy and healthy eating.